I'm reading Genesis chapter 4. Let's all focus on this. Lord, help us as we study your word. We have questions, and we thank you that we can ask questions. And we thank you that you don't mind us asking difficult things. And even if we're not satisfied with the answers, we thank you that you're okay with that as well. But I pray, open our eyes to see you, open our hearts to receive you and know you, and enlarge our revelation of you as we look at your word today. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So Genesis chapter 4 says, Adam made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil, as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were there in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he said. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opens its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth.
It's a bit intense.
Yeah, it is pretty intense, isn't it? I mean, what a drama that is. Why do we even need to watch EastEnders when we can just read the Bible? Okay, we'll read the Bible instead.
Yeah.
So we're focusing. This is the second generation of humanity in the story of God. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? You've got two brothers here. They've got the same parents, the same creator, the same Lord. And this is the beginnings of the evolution of mankind, if you like, the growth of population of people. This is the story of the brotherhood of humankind. I'd like to say you've got love and hate, but it just actually seems as though you've got more hate than love to start with here. There's all sorts going on here, a real drama. Now, just as an aside before we start, this theme of brother, the brother theme, as we go through the Bible, as you read through the Bible, you will notice that the brother theme crops up a lot of times. You've got Cain and Abel here, Isaac and Ishmael coming up, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, David and his brothers, and Jesus. You remember the story of the prodigal son? There's two. It really should be the prodigal of the two brothers. Really, we should know that when you've got a younger and an older brother. And in all of those stories, you will notice that the theme of favor resting on the younger brother seems to be carries on, which is completely countercultural. So in the time there, always the firstborn child, the oldest one, would have been mum and dad's pet, and he would have got all the perks, and it still happens today. You know, the firstborn in many cultures is the top dog, and they get a better inheritance and they get all the kind of special treatment, if you like. But in the scriptures, strangely, God turns it round. We'll look at that as we go along. But that sets the backdrop for this story. This isn't just a story about a family feud, by the way. This is a tragic story of humankind. You'll see echoes of humanity in all of this story. So anyway, you've got these two lads, Abel and Cain. Cain and Abel. And their vocations, their roles in life are identified pretty straight away. Abel kept flocks. Cain tilled the soil. They were both farmers in one sense. One was an animal farmer. One was an agricultural farmer. And straight away, then we're told that they bring offerings to the Lord. And I just picture this, them kind of like, should we do an offering? Yeah, let's do an offering. And they're kind of, this is just me, by the way. Okay. And you can see them kind of like squaring up to each other. It's like, Checking each other's offering out there, bring their offering. You got that, do you? Yeah. I have, yeah, what you got? And maybe they're hiding, kind of like, well, I'm not going to show you what I've got.
No.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of. And they bring their offering before God. And, you know, I mean, if you have siblings, there's a bit of rivalry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. And so I can just imagine this, you know, who's going to do the best job here? And so we're told, Abel, who's the younger one, his offering is favoured by God, and Cain's isn't. And no real reason is given for that in Genesis. There's all hints at a few things, but there's no real reason given for that. So you might be thinking, oh, that's a bit unfair.
Why did he favour one, not the other, though?
Exactly. It's not fair. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews goes on and says it was by faith that Abel brought a better offering. I don't know where the writer of Hebrews gets that from, but that's what Hebrews says, so I'll go with it. But
sorry, should he have brought a whole lamb or a whole sheep rather than just cut
the
sheep?
No, it was the offering of the grain offering that wasn't acceptable. Right. I don't know. It doesn't say.
The meat is better than the
it doesn't say. Doesn't say. I mean, you can, anyway, you could infer a whole lot of things and you could maybe make some guesses, but it doesn't actually say. But the outcome of it is Cain's angry. Yeah, Cain's angry about this because it seems like God is showing some favouritism. It seems like, at least from his point of view, it seems like that. And so I don't know if you can sympathise with that. You know, sometimes if you've been treated, in your opinion, unfairly, you know, you would say, it's not fair. You ever heard anyone say that?
Yeah.
Have you ever said that? Yeah. It's not fair. And you can, and that's how, by the way, that's how children say it. It's not fair. They don't just say it. There's a tonality.
Yeah, that's
how
I say it.
Yeah. And so Cain is angry. His face is downcast. Anyone ever met somebody with a downcast face?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever had a downcast face?
Yeah.
So we can relate to this. It's a pretty standard family scenario, this. We've all been there. Yeah. So the thing is, though, God challenges Cain. He says, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? He just says, do what is right and your offering will be accepted. So here's God's challenge to Cain. He says, basically, mate, sort yourself out. Sort it out. Don't compare yourself to your brother Abel and what's going on there. Don't worry about that. It's not really about that at all. It's not a competition here. It's just you sort yourself out. God's pretty direct with this. Does anyone watch SIS, the Who Dares Wins show? You watch that? No? You're all good people that don't listen to TV with swearing on it. It's a fascinating program for me for this one point of view. So basically the idea is that there's a group of complete numpties like you and us, you're here, and they go through this the selection process for the SAS. They put them through this extreme physical pressure, and then from time to time they put a bag over the head of the recruits. They'll call it Daniel will have a number three, and they'll put a bag over Daniel's head, drag him into this interview room, sit him down, and then they'll basically say, Daniel, how do you think you're doing? And he'll go, I think I'm all right. And then they'll just start, well, you could be doing better, basically. You're rubbish at this, you're terrible at that. And then tell us about your life. And within like 5 minutes, they've got to the bottom of the fact that Daniel was abandoned as a child and his wife ran off and all these things. And you didn't even know that, did you? See? And it's just kind of like, and they basically sort it out, Daniel. That's the approach. Yeah, basically, pretty much. And these guys are in blubbering tears, but then it kind of works. And you think, if only ministry was that easy. By the way, I will not be bagging you at the head and dragging you into the office. The point is here that they're just really direct and to the point. There's no, they're in a situation where there's no messing about. This is life or death for them. You know, if you're going to join the SAS, they need to be able to trust you, and they need you to sort yourself out so that we can get on with the training and then we can go and do the mission kind of thing. You know, so it's brutal. Really is brutal. And this is life and death. And so God gets in that situation. It's like, Cain, sort yourself out. Deal with your issues. You got issues? Deal with them. Whew. Because Cain's doing this classic human thing. He's like, I've got problems, but I'm going to say it's somebody else's problem. Yeah? Something happened with me, I'm going to push it over to Abel. It's just, I'm not going to deal with my own stuff. I'm going to sort of say, well, hang on a second. You remember Jesus, though, he sort of says something along the lines of specks and planks, you know? Yeah, don't start dealing with other people's speck in their eye, but deal with the plank in your own eye. Sort yourself out.
I've never heard that one.
Jesus says, sort yourself out. Sort yourself out. It's God's challenge to all of us. Sort yourself out. We put it in Christian terms, repent, brother. Repent. But it's basically sort yourself out. Yeah? Because God says, sin is crouching at your door and you must rule over it, he says to Cain. Sort yourself out. Don't let sin rule over you. You must rule over it. By the way, all those things are not true about Daniel. I was just using that as a silly example. Now he's not an elder, I can do what I like, you know. So where does that leave Cain? He's got two options. He can either sort himself out. He could decide to rule over sin. And God's given him this option here. He can do what's right. He can do some... And it's going to take some hard work inside of him, I think. You know, he's going to have to do some work inside himself and look at his attitudes, look at his approach. Maybe there was something wrong in his attitude. Maybe, I don't know, he just couldn't be bothered. I don't know, whatever his... He needs to be renewed from within, right? He needs to change his attitude of his heart. And that takes work, it takes discipline. It's quite hard, you know, when someone challenges you and you go, well, I've got to sort of work through some stuff inside here. But that's the path to holiness. So he could choose to do what's right, or he could go for a quick fix. Here's the quick fix. Kill Abel. Quick fix, get rid of the competition, deal with the competition. Then there's no one else to sort of measure him against, so like he's kind of back being top dog, being firstborn, being the kind of top of the pecking order. Get rid of the competition, get rid of the comparison, lash out, let his anger actually speak louder than anything else. Look for the quick fix, change the external circumstances, no more Abel, no more problem. Now, I'm sure all us good Christians would know I need to do the inner work of spiritual formation in myself. I need to deal with myself. Because none of us have ever lashed out in anger, have we? Okay, so what does Cain choose to do? Well, he goes for the quick fix, as we know. He kills Abel, he kills his brother. He kills his brother. His brother. Rather than sort out his own issues, rather than listen to God and say, sort yourself out, he actually kills his brother. And then God's response is this. Where's Abel? God knows, by the way. And God asks a question like that, you know he knows. And Cain, I can just hear stroppy teenager voice all over this. It's like, God says, Cain, where's your brother? He's like, oh. Exactly. It does, there's no even, the words don't even form properly. It's like, oh. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Like, whatever. Basically. And even that attitude is like, you could just like, God's again sort of saying, didn't I tell you to sort yourself out? Didn't I tell you? Because then God says, what have you done? What have you done? It's comical in one sense because it is so shocking. What have you done? You've killed your brother. And he says, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. God already knew, he already knew what was happening because he, not because necessarily he saw it happen, although God sees it all things. He knew what happened because he hears the voice of the blood of Abel crying from the ground. And what does that tell us about life, human life? He's saying to Cain, your brother is precious, really precious. All life is precious, by the way. Every human life is sacred, made in the image of God. What have you done? You've spilt blood. Your brother's blood, it cries out from the ground. And I'm sure we'd all agree. In fact, this comes back to Jesse's question. When blood is spilled, it cries out, doesn't it? You don't just kind of go, oh, okay, never mind. When blood is spilled, there's something about it that calls out. And I think straight away, the scriptures are telling us very early on that shed blood raises a voice that cries out to God, and he hears it. It speaks louder than any cover-up that Cain can make. He's trying to cover it up. You know, we all try, you know, whatever our... We all try and cover up our mistakes, but he's trying to cover it up, and God's like, you can say what you like. I can hear what's happened. I can hear it in the blood that is spilled. It grieves him. It moves him. And I believe in God's heart, he wants to bring him to move to justice. So this is a bit of a shocking story. Fourth chapter of the Bible. The holy book of our scriptures. Fourth chapter in. And we've got this going on. Spilt blood. Now I think that spilt blood points us forward. Again, the writer of Hebrews says this. This is Hebrews chapter 12. Says, you have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. What's he saying there? You know, God hears the blood that Abel's blood was spilled. But he's saying, even more does he hear the spilt blood of his own son, crying out for the working of a new covenant for all who believe. The voice of the blood of Christ speaks to us. I think that's good news, that God hears that on our behalf. That as we share communion later, we'll know that as we share the blood of Christ, that speaks very loudly to God of the new covenant. And then finally, from this dramatic story, we're challenged, I think. Because the challenge is, how do we treat our brothers? Now you may think, well, I don't actually have a brother. Sisters, neighbours, family, friends, enemies. Enemies, they're all our brothers, really. I think this story is telling us that we all come from the same place. We all come from God. Then Adam and Eve, then Cain and Abel, etc., etc. We're all brothers and sisters. And so John, in his letter, says this, for this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. And just remind you of what Jesus says. You've heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to our brother or a sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. So this dramatic, tragic story, right at the beginning of our scriptures, is a challenge to the attitude of Cain in all of us. We all have a bit of Cain in us. Some of us have more than others, but we all have a bit of Cain. We're all like him in some ways. We all have that anger that rises up towards our brothers and sisters. And so what does God say to us? Well, maybe it's a little bit more gently, but maybe it actually sometimes is. Right in our face, sort yourself out. Sort yourself out. Do what is right. Rule over sin. Repent. Allow the blood of Christ, which speaks even more than the blood of Abel, to transform us, to be a new covenant people, so that we may see the nature of the brotherhood of who we are in each other, the sisterhood, the sibling nature that we're all made in. And we'd invite the work of the Spirit to change our hearts so that we would love and not hate. And we'd accept and not be angry. And we'll give life and not murder. Now that's a hard thing because it means we have to be changed inside. But that's what he calls us to. Rather than a quick fix of just dealing with the problem and shouting at somebody else. So, I'm going to hand over. Cherry's going to lead us in communion, but I think as we confess Okay, before we take communion, it would be a good idea just to bring our confession before God, knowing that He is faithful to forgive us. Well, I'm sure Cherry will guide us in that. So, over to you, Cherry. I'm going to pray as she comes. Heavenly Father, this is a story. It is intense. And Lord, we thank you that there's an offer of salvation in and through Jesus Christ, through your blood spilt on our behalf, for our sake, for our salvation. And so I pray, let us be renewed by your Spirit. Let us choose to be transformed inwardly, and let us give ourselves to be living sacrifices and ones who are given to love. Deliver us from the spirit of Cain in us, and let the heart of Jesus be more and more in us, now and always.